This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
On November 5th, 2013, voters in the Samuel Miller District go to the polls to elect their representative on the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. This recording is Brian Wheeler's September 26th interview with incumbent Republican Dwayne Snow. Snow's opponent is Democratic challenger Liz Palmer. Mr. Snow, thank you for participating in this interview with Charlottesville Tomorrow. The complete audio and written transcript for this interview will be available online. Information from this interview will be used in the compilation of the Nonpartisan Voter Guide being co-produced by Charlottesville Tomorrow, The Daily Progress, and the League of Women Voters. Charlottesville Tomorrow does not endorse any candidates, and our goal is to provide information to the public so they can make an informed vote on issues primarily related to land use, transportation, public education, and community design. As you are aware, some of the questions you will be asked have been provided in advance, others have not. All supervisor candidates will be asked the same questions. We ask that you keep these questions confidential until all candidates have been interviewed. Each candidate will be provided an opportunity to review the excerpts selected for the voter guide before its publication. Are you ready to start?
I am.
Question number one. Please describe your past experience that qualifies you to be on the Albemarle Board of Supervisors.
I was CEO and of Snow's Garden Center for 35 years. And I've been active in church and various boards and commissions throughout the state and the city, county. One thing I've discovered is that no one organization, ideology, our people have a lock on good people or good ideas. And I think that if we all understood that, we would work together better in a community and be able to work across party lines, across different ideologies and things such as that, so that we might be able to continue to get more done. And I feel like that I am especially qualified for that, and I have shown that over the last 4 years with the things that we've been able to accomplish in the county.
Question number two. What is your top priority for action by the Board of Supervisors if you are elected?
I've had numerous top priorities over the last 4 years, and we've worked on them and have come quite a ways on schools and economic development plan and some of the other things that we had on our list. One of my top priorities right now, and it's hard to narrow it down to one, is internet and cell coverage throughout the county. If you go into the, you don't really have to go that far out of the county to go into areas that have neither cell, internet, or cable, or fiber optics. You know, they don't have anything. So when they go home from work or school, they have no way of communicating with the outside world except through, you know, dial-up telephone. And I think those citizens, whether they're trying to run a business, educate their children, or just communicate with family and friends, or should emergencies arise, they would be without. I need to put that sentence together better than that. These have an access to those features is paramount. And that is one of the things that I'm going to be working on over the next 4 years to make sure that we can get all of these services into all of our county.
Question number three. Do you support the construction of the Western Bypass of US 29? Why or why not?
Yes. When I was running 4 years ago, we had stated as one of our campaign promises that we would work to widen 29 from the river out to Hollymead, that we would work to get the second ramp for the 250 bypass, that we would connect with the Hillsdale connector that runs up behind Whole Foods up to Rowell Road, and that we would work on the Birkmeyer extension. And those were my top four priorities as far as roads. And with that, we had an opportunity to get all of those roads. About the second year in the in my term, we got a call from Secretary Connaughton asking to meet with us. And when we went into the meeting, he said, if we decided to build a bypass, would you support that? And I said, no. I said, what we need are these four other items that we've named, that I just previously mentioned. And he said, well, after this was after a conversation. And I said, and he said, well, if we could get you those, would you support a bypass? And at that point, I said, yes. So I'm excited about getting the other roads that I've just mentioned to you. The way we left it with the Birkmeyer extension was that would not be built as part of this group, but they would help formulate the plan of how it would fit into the plan later. But the reason I support the bypass is because I think we need it. And I'll give you an example. I lived on Evergreen Avenue when the 250 bypass was put through in the 50s. And it was going past, and a lot of people didn't like it. It was going past McIntyre School. It was cutting through McIntyre Park. And a lot of people felt like we didn't need it and it was not a good idea. Well, it was built. And I ask you, if you had to go across town today, how often would you take the road through Derry Road or Meadowbrook or Barracks Road or go up through UVA and come across town? It would be almost impossible. We need to be planning not only for what we have right now, but what's coming in the future. And anything that we build in the future is going to be more expensive than what it's costing right now. And it's just longer delays. And we've already owned 60% of the property.
Question number four. Name one specific area of the county budget that you are concerned about and tell us why. And do you think it deserves more funding or less?
I think in this economic environment that we found ourselves in, we have actually done pretty good with balancing all of our budget needs, except in one big area, and that's in our capital improvement budget. Over the last 4 years, we've been able to keep up the maintenance of a lot of our buildings and things such as that, but we haven't had the money to go out and build things that we actually need, are going to need, and start putting money aside for that. One is schools. We've got schools that are becoming overcrowded. A lot of our children are meeting in trailers. That's not the best environment in the world. So we're going to need to start putting money aside for schools, and that takes a lot of money. Another thing, we've got a new court system complex that needs to be built. Our courts are outdated. They're not as safe as they should be, and it's not conducive to the work that goes on there. So that's going to be another major item. So in my opinion, we need to start putting excess money or money that we can come up with into our capital improvement budget.
Question number five. Are the cash proffers paid by residential real estate developers too much, too little, or just about the right amount to contribute to the cost for community infrastructure?
I strongly believe that that those that are building in the community need to help pay for the infrastructure that is needed. Whether it's too much or too little, I don't know. I was not a part of that discussion when that program was implemented. I would like to see us go back, and we do have that schedule. Now that I think about it, we do have that schedule to go back and revisit that issue, and look at both sides of that and see exactly where we are, and see if we're still comfortable with the way we're doing it.
Question number 6: if real estate tax revenues increase, should Albemarle lower its property tax rate? Why or why not?
It's incumbent on us as board members of the Board of Supervisors to spend the hard-earned money of our citizens wisely. Over the past 4 years, we've been able to eliminate 66 government positions through attrition. We didn't go out and fire 66 people. We've been able to reduce our budget by $30 million. And so now that the economy is starting to change and more money is starting to come in, I think that, you know, we work on the CIP part of our budget, and we continue to spend money wisely. We don't go on a hiring frenzy. We don't go on a spending frenzy, but we continue to have good, sound financial management systems in place.
Question number 7. What is the best example to date of Albemarle County's neighborhood model form of development, and why do you like it? And a follow-up, what improvements could be made to our community's placemaking efforts?
Well, I think it has to be Crozet Old Trail. You've got shopping, you've got restaurants, you've got schools, you've got parks, you've got libraries, you've got a golf course, you've got the mountains. You know, what more could a community have? I mean, they could just virtually live there in that area and never leave if they didn't want to. So I think that's a very good example. As far as creating more spaces for people to gather and to do things, it seems to me that the private sector is doing a really good job of that. You know, you've got a number of places that people gather for coffee and opportunities to sit and talk and relax. And you see that on the downtown mall, you see it in places like Old Trail. And so I think that's, I don't know that necessarily needs to be a government decision, but something that's taken care of by the private sector.
Question number 8. Business leaders and social service agencies have told the Albemarle Board of Supervisors that new investments are sorely needed in the area of early childhood education. Will you make pre-K education and quality child care a priority, and if so, how?
Well, you asked me to mention my top priority a few minutes ago, and schools have always been my top priority. As we talked about the pre-K programs like Bright Star, is it ESCS? I said that right? Program? And Head Start? You know, Bright Stars, I think, is from ages 4 and up, and Head Start is 2 to 5. I feel we funded Bright Stars last year and increased it, but after hearing later that there were still kids on the waiting list, I would go back and add additional money into that area. I strongly feel like that all kids that are eligible for that program should have it, and the reason for that is that if our children go into school on grade level, you know, equal to the kids that have advantage of early education just because of what their parents do and where they travel and do things as children, I think there'll be less crime, there'll be less welfare, and we'll have more productive citizens. To me, that is essential to any community, is to make sure that the future of their community, which is in their children, has a good start. If they ever get labeled that they're ignorant, dumb, stupid, whatever kids are called, or at an early age, they come to believe that. And if they believe it, so it is.
Question number 9. How would you describe the challenges and opportunities facing Albemarle County's rural farms, fields, and forest?
Well, I think most people know that we've worked hard to maintain our urban and rural areas. We have 35 square miles. Just think about it, 35 square miles that have been, which is roughly 5% of the county, which we have designated as our development area. And 53% of our population live in that 35 square miles. We have another 690 square miles where 47% of our people live. And so I think, you know, down the road, there might be more and more pressure to move, you know, to gobble up more of that land. So that's why we support green easements, forest agriculture, and forest districts. That's why we support green easements, so that the more land that we can have preserved and maintain that 95%, the better we are able. Still didn't sound right. We're able to ensure the beauty that this county is known for, and which we all love and just feel it's a privilege to live here.
Question number 10. Describe a part of local government that would benefit from increased city and county cooperation and that you would make a priority.
We've met 2 years ago as with the leaders of Charlottesville and the board leaders of Albemarle County, and to sit down and have that conversation. And we identified seven or eight different areas that we could see opportunities for joint participation. And so we divided up into groups, and we went out and worked with staff and came back, and we all gave our reports. And for the most part, the city and the county both agree that a lot of these things that we are doing need to be maintained because the city environment and the density is so much different from that 95% that's out in the county. So if you try to combine the police force, you know, there's a lot more intensive policing right downtown, whereas out in the county, it's just completely different. So we looked, and we looked at social services. We looked at fire and rescue, and we already have a lot of participation there. In fact, we've done a really good job with things such as joint undertakings with libraries, emergency call center, and jail, and things such as that. One thing that we have identified that there might be opportunities is additional working together on parks and recreation. And there's a couple of others that I just can't think of right now that would fall into that category. But we are constantly looking for opportunities to share expenses so that there again we can increase the opportunities for all of our citizens and maintain control of our cost.
Duane Snow, thank you for participating in this interview.
Thank you.